sermon series, you're going to get through this, but I want to drop anchor today and talk about and from the book of 1 Samuel, the life of David, 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I will be reading out of the NIV translation. Amen. So if you don't have a connected device, you can take a Bible behind you, which is the NIV translation. If you could take that, turn to page 197. And after you have found 1 Samuel chapter 17, I would ask if you're able that you stand with us as we read that verses 20 through 30 from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Amen. Out of the NIV translation, are you there yet? Amen. I didn't hear all, so I think that we're still looking. Page 197, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verses 20 through 30 out of the NIV translation. Let us begin with verse 20 and read down through verse 30. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Verse 21, Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. And then David left his things with the keeper of supplies. He ran to the battle line and asked his brothers how they were. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Now, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." Now David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." Verse 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? Now I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now, what have I done?" said David. "Cannot he even speak?" Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same man, and the men answered him as before. Just help me by turning to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
if there ever was a time
to stand up,
to stand out, now is the time."
Now is the time.
Amen. Amen. It's time to stand up.
Yes.
And it's time to stand out.
Yes.
I'll need your prayers. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. For God, so many are weak, and so many God want to get loved, and so many God have fought the good fight of faith, Lord, but in their minds there's no more fight left to give. Lord God, I pray for strength for the brother, strength for the sisters. Lord God, I pray, God, that we would not lean upon our own understanding, but that in all of our ways we will acknowledge you, and you told us you'll continue to direct our path. Lord God, sometimes we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. Lord God, we don't know whether to go left or right, up or down. God, but have us to focus our hearts and our minds on you, Jesus. Have us look to Calvary's cross. Have us to see you die that sacrificial death so that you can put all the sins of mankind under subjection, Lord God. We know that the wages of sin is death, Lord. But we didn't, I'm thankful you didn't put a period there, but you put a comma. And you said, but the gift of God is eternal through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, for not only abundant life here on this side, God, but I thank you for the promise of everlasting life with you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that not only will you continue to be glorified, I pray that not only will this body continue to be edified, but we'll continue to lift you up, Jesus, so that all the world may see and all may come into a reality of their life and sin and want to repent of their sin and give their and surrender their life to you, Lord. God, you told us to work while it's day, but no man will work when it's night. Now, God, as we share this book of 1 Samuel, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, because you are my strength, Lord. I think I'm strong, but my strength is not enough. You are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my all in all. This is your servant's prayer. I pray humbly in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. And thank God. It's time to stand up. And it's time to stand up. Are y'all with me today?
Yes.
Amen. You know, from the cradle to the grave, the pressure is on each and every one of us. Amen. To fit in where we can get in and to go along so that we can all get along. And it does not matter whether we call it peer pressure, social coercion, or group conformity. Whatever we call it, we have to acknowledge that there is an innate desire within each other, in each of us, to be accepted at all costs. Now that explains why we try to look like, talk like, dress like, and act like anybody else, with the end result being that we become like everybody else, and we stop being ourselves, and we start being what we believe everybody else wants us to be. And in the process, we lose our personality. We lose our originality. We lose our uniqueness. And at some point, we even lose our very own souls. Because instead of being the one-of-a-kind original that God created us to be, we settle for being a copy of somebody else. And subsequently, we fall short of what God wants to do in us to reach our full potential. So let me encourage you today to take a stand, to stand up, and to stand out. So would you help me by telling your neighbor, neighbor,
don't be afraid.
By standing up and standing out, are you willing to risk everything by appearing different and even looking foolish if that means you have to live your life in the way that God intended for it to be there? Because the truth is, it is our apprehension over appearing abnormal and our fear of appearing foolish that keeps us from standing up and keeps us from standing out. In fact, there are numerous polls that point out that the number one fear that people have is speaking in public. That's the number one fear. And the second most fear that people have is the fear of death and dying. Now, that logically means that people would rather die than speak in public. I'm trying to be logical. You want me to do what? You might as well plan my funeral now. Now let me park right here and tell somebody that I believe that it's a fear of looking foolish that we're most afraid of. It's the fear of looking foolish that kept us from raising our hand in the fourth grade. Because the other kids might have laughed at us if we got the answer wrong. It's the fear of looking foolish that prevented me from asking somebody out on a date because I didn't know how I could handle rejection if they told me no.
That's right.
It's the fear of looking foolish that kept me from changing majors in college or changing jobs or changing careers, because people might have thought I was clueless and I lacked direction. It's the fear of looking foolish that keeps us from praying for a miracle, because we have to face the possibility that God may not answer our prayer in the way that we want God to answer our prayers. But here's the catch. If you're not willing to stand up, if you're not willing to stand out, if they didn't look foolish, you will never be able to do big things and take your life and your faith to the next level.
Come on now.
Oh, I know somebody wants to say, I know you, right? You preacher.
Yeah.
Because Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. You know, that's why Noah looked foolish building an ark in the middle of the desert. That's why Sarah looked foolish searching for maternity clothes in the 90s. She's 90 years old and she's shopping in the maternity section. That's why Isaac looked foolish redigging his father's wells. That's why Jacob looked foolish wrestling with an angel in the middle of the night. That's why David looked foolish attacking Goliath with a slingshot and a few smooth stones. That's why the Israelites looked foolish walking towards the Red Sea with an army coming up behind them. That's why the people of Israel looked foolish marching around Jericho, blowing trumpets, waiting for the wall to come falling down. That's why Benaniah looked foolish chasing the lion into a pit on a snowy day. And that's why Jesus looked foolish hanging half naked on an old rugged cross. Out of the box.
Some people are so far away that they don't even remember the box. But this is amazing. They found that out of 3-year-olds to 5-year-olds, that 98% of 3 to 5-year-olds scored in the genius category when it came to divergent or different thinking. Now please don't miss this. When kids are little, every one of them is able to think alone and think for themselves.
That's right.
But by the age of 8 years old, that number drops from 98% down to 32%. And by that time, by the time that they're teenagers, it drops from 32% down to 10%. And by the time you get to be the right ball age, James, of 25 years old, only 2% scored in the genius category of different thinking.
Yes, right.
Now I know that you're probably wondering why the drop. Well, it's because that the older we become, the greater the pressure we experience to get us to conform our thinking to be like everybody else. Come on, you all know, you all see that video on social media about the little black kid and the little white kid running down the sidewalk and give each other that big old hug. It's not until they get to be 13 and 14 and they start shouting expletives and N-word and all of these derogatory names that they were taught by someone else, or they heard it when they were parents. So that by the time you're 25, you have built up a new way of thinking that you were taught. Do you follow where I'm going with this? That's not how God intended it to be, though. God wanted me to be me. And God wanted you to be you. Would you tell your neighbor being normal is overrated? They look alike. Now, I know it's Fifth Sunday, you're supposed to wear uniforms today, so don't be They act alike, they pray alike, they sound alike. You even got people who shout alike. They sing alike, they talk alike, and if we're not careful being conformed to the image of Christ, if we're not careful in being conformed to the image of Christ, we'll end up with people who conform to each other and not to Christ. So what does that mean, preacher? It means that we act like it rather than we live like it. We pretend that we got this. We fake it so that we look good. We attempt to appear prosperous when in essence we're so broke.
Come on. Real
talk. We can't even pay attention. But we don't have that problem in this church. Are you with me?
Come on. Oh, yeah.
We are a church that are filled with different thinkers.
Yes.
And we are a church of individuals who are trying to grow spiritually. Because we all know that one aspect of spiritual growth is coming to terms with who we are and who we are not. I joke about it, but there's a level of seriousness. I don't have the gift of Jerome Harris. I'm not going to try to sing like Jerome Harris. I don't have the biblical knowledge of a Richard Sublett. I'm not going to try to compete my knowledge with his. Hey, man, I can't pray like a Henry Gordon. I'm not gonna try to pattern my prayers after his prayer. I'm gonna be me.
And if you want to stand out and be who God meant for you to be,
come on,
You're going to have to realize, just like David did, that all of life is preparation for assignments that you have not yet been given. Oh no, y'all not hearing that.
Come on, man.
Back when you was 18 and you wondered, Lord, why did that have to happen? Lord, why did I have to go through this? And now you 38 and the Lord is giving you a flashback and taking you back. So now he's giving you the answer. I was preparing you not for 80 when you were 18, but for 20 years later when you 38. You've got to get this, y'all, because our initial assignments tend to be small. Are they continue to be concealed and not easily understood. And if we're not careful, we can think that they don't matter. That unless we remind ourselves that all of life is preparation for an assignment that you or we or me have not been given. Yes, God gives us small assignments to start with for two reasons.
Yes.
First of all, God wants to develop faithfulness within us. Because you do know that Matthew reminds us that, Lord, if thou hast been faithful over a few things,
yes, yes.
God said, I will make you ruler over many things. Yes. He wants to develop the faithfulness within us, but also he gives it because character matters more than ability.
Come on now.
Character matters. I don't have to be around low talented people. As a matter of fact, I don't want to be around a lot of talent.
That's right.
I want to be around somebody who has good character.
That's it.
I want to be around somebody who wants it more than I do.
Yes. Yes.
Who lives for God in my perception
yes.
better than I do.
Yes.
I want somebody who's going to help bring me up, brother. Yes. That I'll be always trying to bring you up.
Him because he was powerfully anointed to rule and to reign.
Yeah.
to see yourself beyond where you find yourself. I'm out in the field, tending sheep. I'm bringing happy meals to them. That's where I am. That's where I am, but I have to see myself beyond where I'm at.
That's right.
His assignment was a fact of history. But his anointing was a matter of destiny. Where you are is a fact of history. But where God wants you to go is your destiny. And his destiny required an anointing. It required an empowerment or an order to bring it to reality. What David would inevitably do was larger than what he was presently doing. And I just need about 30 seconds to talk to somebody here who you've had an anointing on your life that is larger than your present situation. It's larger than your present assignment.
Come on now.
And I need you to understand that God's anointing accompanies the destiny that God placed you here before.
Yes.
God placed you here. But not only did he place you here, he placed you with an anointing to perform why God placed you here.
Come on now. Come on now.
And every one of us has a kingdom purpose.
Yes.
And since we all don't have the same purpose, then every one of us will not need the same level of the anointing or the same level of the manifestation of the anointing. So what David would do was greater than what he was already doing. And this was seen as another opportunity to serve God. So he resisted the temptation to compare himself to anybody else.
Come on now.
I want you to grab what I just said in your spirit.
Come on.
Stop comparing yourself to other folk.
Yeah.
You don't have what they have, so what?
So what?
You ain't doing what they're doing, so what? You ain't driving what they're driving, so what? You ain't wearing what they wear. I know I got wrong ebonics, but you know what I'm talking about. So what? You can't sing like they sing. So what? So what?
Come on now.
You may not be able to do what they do, but you have an anointing on your life that is larger than your present assignment. So instead of trying to be like somebody else, invest your energy and moving into what God wants you to be and what God wants you to do. In the Message translation, verse 28 says, Eliab, David's older brother, heard David fraternizing with the men, and he lost his temper. This is David's oldest brother. Guess what he said? What are you doing here? Why aren't you minding your own business? Tending that scrawny flock of sheep. No, the emphasis is mine. Because this is why I like the Message translation. Now notice the sarcasm in his voice. I notice it because that's how you identify who the haters are. Haters use a universal language of belittlement. They walk up on you and they watch and see if you don't watch. Go to work tomorrow. So why does it don't happen? Here's what they do. They walk up on you and they say, "Oh, I ain't seen you since you got your little car." We don't hang like we used to since you got your little boyfriend. I heard that you got your little house now.
We ain't been to lunch since you got your little promotion. Everything is little, and their insecurity is so bad that they even hate on themselves. I mean, you have the best intentions, and you try to compliment them by saying, "Oh, I like that outfit." Mm-hmm. And they say, "This is just a little song."
David was able to stand out and he was able to stand up when everybody else wouldn't, because he realized that the basis of real victory is authenticity and not superficiality. Mm-hmm. Now, many of us who have ever been a part of a Sunday school have been taught that Saul offered David his armor. But when you read the text, it says that he walked around in it. But that don't make a whole lot of sense. Because Saul was the tallest man in Israel. And David was young and ready. And he knew that his armor wouldn't fit even before he put it on. So that raises the question, why did he put it on and walk around in somebody else's armor? So let me use my homiletical imagination. I like to think that maybe it was because he wanted it to fit. Now you gotta remember that David was a shepherd. And shepherds wore robes, not armor.
That's right.
And he had never had those royal garments on his body like that.
Yes, sir.
And just like David, there are a whole lot of you who want something that wasn't made for you. And when you walk around in it, hope that it might fit someday. But you got to wake up and realize that you have only been anointed to walk and to fight in your own stuff.
Yes.
I gotta go, y'all. But before I do, I want to encourage you to don't put your destiny on hold by trying to get something that was never meant for you in the first place. Because even though David was going to battle with royal regalia on and looking like a king, underneath he would still be different.
Yes,
yes. Don't you know that God don't bless counterfeit? God is going to bless me trying to walk up in here and talk about get ready. My name is not Jakes.
Okay.
Because I don't walk up here trying to sound like, give me a copy of Preacher Joe Osteen, or I walk around here trying to sound like Marvin Wally, or trying to sound like anybody other than Kevin Williams. God ain't gonna bless that. God does not bless counterfeit. So that means that you gotta just be yourself. That means that even though I've got some stuff that's wrong with me, even though I've got some stuff that I'm struggling with, I'm saying I, but y'all, I'm talking about y'all too. Even though I got some stuff I'm not proud of, I thank God that the grace of God makes forgiveness possible. I thank God that the Spirit of God makes progress possible. I thank God that the Word of God gives me a foundation on which to stand. And I thank God that I'm not what I want to be. And I'm not yet what I'm going to be. But hallelujah, I'm not what I'm not what I used to be. At that moment, he recognized that despite how it looked, God was still with him. And he obtains great consolation from the fact that God will never leave him nor forsake him. So in verse 32, David says, Master, don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine. Y'all, if I was anywhere else, I'd shout right now. Because things may look bad today. David, you may be in a place of disappointment. You may be in a place of despair or doubt. But always remember that no matter how bad it gets or how hopeless it looks, please don't give up hope. No matter how bad it gets, don't give up hope. They may not have you a good day, but no matter how bad today was, or today is, or no matter how it looks for tomorrow, please don't give up hope. No matter what others may do or what they don't do, stand up.
your heart yet for things that God has in store for you. Somebody else get a case of what we got.